This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I thought I had it in my head. How are you? It's 3:05. Nick Monagle here with you on a 5-hour midnight ride. As we got you till 5 a.m. It's Nas. What the hell's the new? Hate Me Now? Hate Me Now. That's it. I was going to say Stop Me Now, but that's Queen. Everybody knows that. 888-808-1019. So let's do a little Mets here as they come off the win against Arizona. A big game from Juan Soto. Another, well-pitched game. Kodai Senga has been really good this year. Gets out of jams. They did him a couple of favors with a bad bunt and some other things, but he gets out of the jam. He's been pitching lights out this year along with every other. You know, I joked earlier about, I didn't really joke, I talked earlier about the Yankees having their pitching rotation lined up for the Mets series next weekend with Rodon, Clark Schmidt, and then Max Fried Sunday night. It doesn't matter with the Mets. I'm not even going to look at it. It doesn't matter who's pitching. Like, yeah, Kodai Senga has been great. I've seen lists with McGill, like the top 10 pitchers in baseball right now. There's McGill hanging out at the bottom of it. Like, it doesn't matter who pitches for the New York Mets. The McGill, Peterson, Canning. Like, McGill had a so-so outing, and so did Peterson, I suppose, and, you know, the Tidwell game. But, like, besides that, the pitching is still remarkable. But Kodai Senga is great. Juan Soto, who is clearly coming out of it, and hasn't, I mean, when you say coming out of it, it hasn't been all that bad. Really, it's with runners in scoring position, which still has been an issue. He did hit, I believe both were solo, two solo home runs in the game the other day. He had, after having two home runs in the same game against Arizona in the series at Citi Field, he's been much better as of late. He's coming around, and I have no doubt he's going to have a big-time series against the New York Yankees next weekend. But the same issues with them, like, other than, you know, some hitting with runners in scoring position. The bullpen is a little bit of an issue right now. It hasn't been as good, but a very good series against a very good Diamondback team. And now this is a big series against the Cubs. The Cubs have been one of the best teams in baseball. They are 22-16, but their offense has really scored a ton of runs. The Mets pitching is going to be put to the test here, and then they go take on the most embarrassing franchise in the sport, the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll get to them in a second. Followed by the Yankees, Boston, and the Dodgers. So it's a little bit of a stretch where they're playing some teams. There's been a little bit of a knock on the Mets talking about that they haven't played a lot of the better teams in baseball, which I think is absolute nonsense. They swept the Phillies. Like, they've beaten Arizona now. This is obviously a very good baseball team, and this is going to be a good test for them. But a couple of things with them, mainly, as I talked about Dominguez with the Yankees, Acuna has kind of been a talking point with the Mets. For me, I mean, you know me. I'm not the biggest Jeff McNeil guy. I'm just not. I understand right now with the Winker injury, it affords them the ability to kind of manipulate things and move people around, and McNeil's played center, and he can do different things. But I'm sorry, when you watch this team play, every day has to have Luis Angel Acuna in the lineup. He has been that good. He provides excellent defense. He runs the bases and is damn near impossible to throw out. Right? He leads the team in steals with 9. Let me look at his stats again. I just had it before I went back. He's hitting .295 with a .721 OPS. So there's not much slug. Yet to hit a home run. But he's hitting .295. He's stolen 9 bases. He plays an excellent defensive second base. Like, to me, this is one of those scenarios, like, you purposely put him on the roster to have a kind of a competition with Beatty, who's now back up with the team. But he's answered everything you could have wanted him to answer. And while Jeff McNeil, you know, had a triple the other day, I don't see much in Jeff McNeil. I got to be honest. I think Jeff McNeil as a role player on this team suits them better. You could play him at a bunch of different positions. I get it. He has value. It's lessened this year with the amount of players they have, but now with the injuries to Winker and, you know, Marte just starting to play the field. They pulled him out after 5 innings the other day because they're getting him into a groove of playing in the field every day now with the Winker injury and trying to open up DH a little bit to maneuver guys around. But to me, Acuna needs to be in the lineup every single day. And he proves it on a day-in and day-out basis. He comes through with the big RBI single the other day. Like, he's just putting out good at bat after good at bat. He's hitting damn near .300. He runs the bases. He plays excellent defense. And, you know, right now, he is their best option. I would much rather see him every day getting major league, getting at bats. Because remember, if you remember, at the start of the year, I didn't want him on the roster. I was talking about leave Acuna down. I don't want him to sit on the bench. And I wanted to give Beatty the run. And I knew they weren't going to play him every day. So I wanted him in the minor leagues because I want to see him get at bats. I want to see him progress. There hasn't been a ton of development. Like, you want to see him get as many opportunities. He's only 23 years old. You want to see him get as many opportunities as he can. But right now, he is warranted playing him every single day. Absolutely. So we have that discussion with the Yankees and Dominguez. I think Acuna is another one where that conversation needs to stop, quite frankly. Because it should just be Acuna's your everyday starting second baseman. He's earned it. He's absolutely earned it. He's been clutch. He gives you good at bats. He's hitting .300, and defensively, he's been excellent. So there's the conversation around Vientos as well. Vientos, obviously, much better than what he was to start the year, but you're starting to see issues with him defensively. He's been one of the main culprits with the runners in scoring position. That's where his been his issue. Obviously, Soto takes the brunt of that. He's been the face of the Mets struggling with runners in scoring position, but there's been a handful of really big at-bats where Vientos has struck out. He had an error the other day that got turned into a double from the official scorer, which is ridiculous. His defense has kind of let them down a little bit, but really, I mean, you're nitpicking here to look for major issues with the New York Mets. Like, right now, they are 10 games over .500. They're 13-3 at home. And
looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Other than, you know, some injuries to the bullpen, I mean, there's very little to be concerned with right now. And, I mean, the offense struggling with runners in scoring position. But they've found a way. They've, you know, they were struggling for a little bit after sweeping the Phillies. They split the four-game set against the Nationals and then lose consecutive series to the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks. But since, they have figured it out. And really, you know, the whole Juan Soto thing is just, he's about to take off and everything, but I'm so fascinated in how even Met fans, like I understand why Yankee fans, right? We're looking for a reason to knock the whole thing. We're looking for a reason to discredit him. We're looking for a reason. You know, I had a caller just before talk about how great he was last year on a walk year in front of Aaron Judge. It's not the same. Now the contract, like Yankee fans are still spurned and annoyed. And we're going to hear that at Yankee Stadium over the weekend. So I understand why the Yankee fan is watching video of, you know, Pete Alonso's home run and Juan Soto not waiting for him at the plate, or, you know, his body language or his happiness or his this or his that. But it really feels like even the Met fan is kind of hung up on it. And the Met fan is looking for reasons. Like, I get, and especially this is what happens, like, when you lay it on thick about why he came here and family oriented and everything else. And, you know, you expected him to come here and, you know, I don't know, walk on water or immediately have this great year. And it's gotten off to a slow start, which happens a lot when guys enter new teams. Yes, it didn't happen last year with the Yankees. It happened for him in San Diego. When he got traded to San Diego in 23 or 22, rather, excuse me, that second half of 22, he was terrible. And for his standards, had a better 23, but still not the same year he had with the Yankees. He fit the Yankees. That's part of the reason why we all thought he would stay with the Yankees. It wasn't just that the Yankees are the Yankees, and the Yankees have the pinstripes, and the Yankees have the prestige, and the Yankees have the history, and nobody leaves the Yankees. It was a lot of that, don't get me wrong. But part of it was it just felt natural. It felt like it fit from day one. He throws the runner out at the plate. He gets the big hit. He wins the series against the Astros, who the Yankees can't beat to save their lives. He gets off to an amazing start. Like, he hits the big home run in San Francisco. Like, there was just early on in the season, and the Yankees are winning and, you know, out to a big lead in first place, and it just felt like it fit. And so far with the Mets, it hasn't overly, people are so dramatic, it hasn't overly felt like it hasn't fit. It just hasn't fit as well. And that's just something I'm not trying to say as a Yankee fan to diminish anything about the Mets, anything about the contract he just got, anything about anything. It's just, for whatever reason, it worked immediately last year, and it felt like, especially as a Yankee fan watching it, maybe we were overdoing it. Maybe it was just he got off to a good start. But it felt like it fit like a glove, and there were times where it didn't. He slumped a little bit. Remember, he got hurt against the Dodgers series. They started losing. It wasn't always perfect. We just remember the beginning being perfect, and you always remember your first impression. And the first impression with the Mets, for whatever reason, is he doesn't seem to be as animated, as involved, as happy. He's been struggling to whatever level Juan Soto's struggling is. But his numbers are excellent. I mean, his numbers are still pretty damn good. He's hitting 260, right? So that's not great. 7 home runs. You'd like more than 17 RBIs. His OPS is 863. In the last, how many? So you can say it on air.
It was a Sarah Langs tweet. In the last 19 games, he's hitting 300 with a 950 OPS.
In his last 19 games, he's hitting 300 with a 950 OPS. Like, and this is still a conversation now. To be fair, I was watching the broadcast. Even Keith was talking about he's scuffling with runners in scoring position. He's not been great with runners in scoring position. I can assure you, I've watched it. It's not that. He'll be fine. And over his last 19 games, again, he's been great. Those are great numbers. Those are all-star numbers. Those are Hall of Fame numbers. I don't know what it is. And maybe this is going to come off as knocking Met fans, and maybe it is knocking Met fans. I don't know. But it feels like that the Met fan, and I guess a lot of this is also Yankee fans, I don't want to say it's not because it is, but it does feel a little bit like it's the Met fan, are so, like, wanted to rub it, and there's even the promo that Sal's playing. You know, I wanted to play with my new toy. I want to rub it in the faces of Yankee fans. And you wanted to feel like you got this great generational talent, you gave him this big contract, and you needed the instant gratification of it, and also the feeling that he came here for a reason, and everything else you've been talking to yourself about over the offseason, that you wanted to reaffirm all of that. Because it's just words in the offseason. You wanted the play on the field to reaffirm it, which you can't do in a month. And it doesn't really matter. They're 10 games over 500. You know what you have reaffirmed? The pitching lab that everybody talks about. You know what you have reaffirmed? If reaffirmed is a word, because like as I've said it 2 or 3 times, I'm not so sure. You know what you have affirmed? That's a horse. I'll get it right. You know what you have convinced people of? Giving Alonso $30 million was worth it. Lindor is a clutch player and the captain and leader of this team. That you can transition a reliever into a starter. That Kodai Senga can be healthy and pitch every 6 day and be dominant. That this team is damn good. So the Juan Soto stuff, I'm really baffled by it. I'm baffled by the everyday conversation. Now, it's going to start to wipe away because I'm telling you, I know for a fact. I don't typically give out bets. We can do it more. I'm telling you right now, he is going to hit home run. He is going to hit a home run at Yankee Stadium. It is a lock. Lock it up. And he's facing 2 lefties as starting pitchers. So maybe he'll do it off the bullpen. But I'm telling you right now, he's going to see that building. And you know what? And prepare yourself, Met fans. Because this is another prediction I have. Let me see. Yeah, maybe we should do like a McMonagle predicts the future segment. Because let me tell you something right now. Because I know my Yankee fans. I know my brethren. Juan Soto is going to have a good series at Yankee Stadium. Hopefully it's with the Mets losing all 3 games. But Juan Soto is going to have a big series. I have very little doubt. And Met fans, prepare yourself for this. I don't know how, if it'll bother you or not. That I can't predict. But I can tell you what the Yankee fans are going to say. When Juan Soto has a monster series at Yankee Stadium, the Yankee fan is going to say it's because he's back in the Bronx. It's because he's happy again. It's because he missed it. And being back in that beautiful ballpark has rejuvenated him. And you're welcome, Met fans, because he got a little bit of a taste of, home. He's been homesick. That's the problem with Juan Soto. He's been homesick because he misses the Yankees. He misses his former teammates. He misses that beautiful ballpark and the short porch, Monument Park in center field, where he could have been a part of. He misses it. And he came back and wiped away the cobwebs and wiped away the sad feelings, and he recognized that the sun will come out tomorrow. And things are okay, and he just needed a taste of the Bronx. I'm telling you, that's what we're going to hear. We're going to hear Yankee fans telling you that the reason Juan Soto played well against the Yankees, because he misses them, and he was happy to be back in the ballpark, and that's what awoken him from his slumber. His slumber of a 950 OPS over the last 19 games. Now, if you caught that early, or late rather, if you just picked up on that, if you just turned on the radio and heard me say all that, I'm being sarcastic, and I'm mimicking what I think we will hear from Yankee fans after the series. I am not saying that. I'm having some fun. But I'm telling you, that's what the Yankee fans will say. Right? John Maspeth, the caller who just got a little bit of run, had the Yankee rant about Juan Soto, had the fire Brian Cashman night at Yankee Stadium a couple years ago. All the Yankee fan haters, the Yankee fans who hate Juan Soto will be booing him on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. That's what they will say, that Juan Soto had a big-time series at Yankee Stadium because he misses it. So prepare yourself to bat. Think of retorts now, Met fans, because that's what's coming. John in Wantagh, what's up, John?
These Yankee fans, they're sickening. They're like, no, seriously. Like when I'm gonna tell you something. When I was 15, the Mets won the World Series. Mm-hmm. You know how many? And this is not a lie.
So you're old.
I'm 53. I'll be 54. I was in the highlight of my life. The Rangers won the Cup in '94.
Yep.
I had a good time watching OJ run from the cops. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was. So anyway, when I was this is no lie. I was in the 10th grade. We didn't fight about who was better, Mets or Yankees. We fought about who was better, Hernandez or Mattingly, right? And now I bring that up because Hernandez is still my guy, because I don't know if you heard it the other day. And by the way, Yankee fans, before you start talking about Juan Soto not being happy, didn't he block Aaron Judge's number last year and never got back to him, right? So that's number one.
Well,
number two, didn't he make a complaint? Hold on. Didn't he make a complaint against the Yankee security because they treated his mommy bad, right? That's number two.
That turned out to be a false story.
That's not false.
Well, Juan Soto said it was, so I don't
know. Okay, of course he's going to say that.
I'm just saying, so now you're calling Juan Soto a liar. Let's all just put our card. Okay,
it doesn't matter to me. I'm not on social media, so I don't have to hear none of this crap. What I was going to get is Hernandez is my guy because twice last week, Soto hit screaming line drives that were caught.
Yep.
And you know what this guy said? That would have been a home run in Yankee Stadium.
Hmm.
This is why Hernandez is the greatest Met of all time, because he knows how to stick it to the Yankees. And yeah, he might hit two or three homers in Yankee Stadium, but once he hears those rousing boos like the big babies that they are, and I hear Keith, the Mets can't win without Mets can't win without these Yankee players. I forgot Keith Young. He forgets that in the 90s, Steinbrenner was obsessed with 86 Mets, right? Do we forget all of this? World?
Well, no, we remembered. I remember Doc Gooden throwing a no-hitter very well. I remember Darryl Strawberry and Doc Gooden winning World Series with the Yankees very, very much.
I forgot about David Cone, right?
David Cone being really a huge part of the New York Yankees winning a bunch of World Series, throwing a perfect game.
How can the Yankee fans forget this?
Oh, I don't think we forgot any of that.
Well, it seems like you do forget it.
No, it's just that they were, I mean, you got to go out and turn around and win with them. The Yankees won World Series with those guys.
Well, and listen, the Yankees will never, ever win three championships in a row. The Yankees aren't going to win this year. The Yankees aren't even going to make the playoffs this year. Ooh. They're a dead team.
Okay. I mean, that's patently ridiculous. They're clearly going to make the American League playoffs.
No, they're not. No, they're not. I mean,
they are. In their sleep, they're going to make the American League playoffs.
See, what I just did was, as a 53-year-old man who knows probably more about the Yankees than most of these clown Yankee fans, what I just did was, I just showed you that as a Met fan, I'm on top of my game. You have a nice day, my brother.
You got it, John. I don't know what game you're on top of. Maybe Monopoly, but I don't. The Yankees are going to make the playoffs, but yeah, I mean, listen, I understand. The Juan Soto stuff is ridiculous, and I'm pretty sure I'm 100% going to be at the Sunday game. My first chance of watching Max Fried. I'm assuming that rotation hasn't been set just yet, but I think that's how it lines up. And maybe might go Friday night. I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. But I'll definitely be there Sunday. And I'm telling you right now, there is no way in hell. And you can do whatever you want. I will never tell a fan, you know, what to do necessarily. I mean, I will criticize you if I think it's ridiculous. But I do think that booing Juan Soto is within the realm of being reasonable. He did spurn the organization. He turned down $760 million to be a Yankee. But I will never boo, and it's just how I feel. You could do whatever you want. I will never boo the man who hit the home run that sent me to the World Series. I just don't have it in me to boo that person. I'm annoyed he didn't stay. I wish he would have stayed. I'm still in the crowd and think he should stay. I think he should have stayed. I think time will tell that he would have been better served staying. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. But I'll never boo a guy who had one of the greatest at-bats I've ever seen. Had that moment, hit a home run that sent the Yankees to the World Series just a year ago? I'm not booing him. There's no way in hell. I don't care what he did in the offseason. I'm not booing him. You could boo him. Boo him. And I know you will. And I know the crowd is going to boo him just, you know, every at-bat, every time he runs out into the field. I get it. He went to the Mets. He left the Yankees. He went to the Mets. He created a whole bunch of headaches, like the last caller who thinks he's on top of his game because he brings up David Cohn was once a Met. Like that all, Juan Soto did that to you. So I get it. But the guy was unbelievable in the playoffs, and he literally hit the home run to send them to the World Series. I mean, would you boo Chris Chambliss if he went to the Red Sox? I wouldn't. Like, that's it. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. Scott Brosius could have went and played for anyone. I'm not booing him. That at bat against Gattis is entrenched in my memory for the rest of my life. It was incredible. And quite honestly, Yankee fans, you want to hold anything against the Mets? You want to be able to speak on anything of that? Right now, he might be with you for 15 years. He sent us to the World Series. Hopefully he does it for you. But until he does, he didn't. And that's why I'm not going to boo him. There's no way in hell I'm booing Juan Soto. I'm not booing him. I won't cheer him, but I'm not going to boo him. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Why do people keep on harping on stuff, Chris? He's on top of his game. Yeah, he's 53. I'm 72. I'm going to be 73. Mm-hmm. So if anybody's on top of their game, it's me. But the thing is, you're not booing him. You're right. I won't boo Juan Soto. I wish he had stayed. But the fact of the matter is, Brian Cashman went out and made the team deeper. He made the lineup more all-around lineup. He made them a little bit better defensively. Yes. But the thing is, I'm not booing that guy because, like you said, he sent us back to the World Series for the first time since 2009.
Yep.
And you can't boo him. I mean, yeah, he wanted the money. He got Uncle Stevie, gave him the money, gave him the perks, gave him whatever. We offered him $760 million, of which I never thought Hal Steinbrenner would go that high. I never thought he would go to 760.
No, neither did I.
No.
I did.
Where did you think he'd go to?
I thought I was pushing for, I think it was 720. I wanted... I forget. Oh, 715. I think it was 715. I said
I thought you didn't go past 7.
Yeah, that I remember. Yeah, and thank you for the call. So I got a break. That's what I remember saying. If he goes over 7, that should get it done. I remember thinking if he goes over 7, I think that gets it done because 7 was the number of the contract for Soto. I mean, obviously not for Soto. 700 was Ohtani, and I thought there was a chance he wanted to be. That it was important to him to clear that 700 number. And if it was anywhere else, like if the Mets offered a certain amount of money more than the Yankees, he would take the money. But as long as the Yankees, as long as he could say he got the best contract in the history of baseball, I felt like he would have stayed with the Yankees. So I think it was like 15 years, $715 million. I was saying it for like a week. I was like, that's the contract. They should be willing to go there. Hal needs to go there. 15 years, $715 million. You bring him back. You give him the best contract in baseball. Okay, even if Steve Cohen offers him $750, I think $715 would be enough for him to stay. It's the biggest contract in baseball. He stays with the Yankees, and that's what I was saying forever. And ultimately, they went to $760. I didn't even think they would get to $715. I was worried the Yankees wouldn't go there. But... I was so positive that if the Yankees went over 700, he would stay. I was shocked. I have to admit, I was very surprised that they went all the way to 760 and he chose the Mets for technically $5 million more. It turns out to be more than that, but still, I don't think anyone could argue the money wasn't so substantial. Like, he chose the Mets. They did give him the most money, but Yankees still want to, it's all about the money. It's every last cent. Yes, clearly he took the most money. So if you want to make that argument, you can. But when it's that, the money was somewhat negligible. I mean, even if it is $50 million, right? Because it's 1 year longer. So the Yankees technically, I mean, I don't know if he would hit free agency in that final year, but theoretically they got him for one more year for only $5 million. So there's some money there. Plus, all the perks and stuff. Like, I've seen articles that say it's somewhere around $60 to $80 million more. I don't care. The money was negligible. But none of that matters. That's rehashing old stuff. The Yankees and Mets are both in first place. The Mets welcome in the Cubs for an important series before taking on the Pirates and then heading to the Bronx for what will be an enormous... I mean, Friday night has a chance to be. I mean, Friday night is a big night. We'll have the Knicks, Boston, right? That would be game five with a game five, right? Six, game six, right. Yes. Right, because we're talking about all day about whether or not you would go to it or not, which game you would go to. So, yeah, it would be game six. So it could be game six, Knicks playing at home to possibly either save their bacon after losing three in a row, which would be rough, and force a game seven, or with the opportunity, hopefully more likely, to clinch the series, and Yankees-Mets first night of Juan Soto returning to the Bronx. A week from today has a chance to be a big night in New York sports. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Oh, yeah, I just said I might go Friday night. No way. If there's a game six, I can't. You can't go. As much as I would love to go to the Bronx and see that game, unless someone's going to get me a suite where we could watch the game from inside the suite, you want to offer me that? Fine. Other than that, it's tough to go now with a game six looming. Tough.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
This is the land of confusion, 340. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Another hour 20 for a five-hour midnight ride, 888-808-1019. Talking a lot of baseball. We'll get back to the Knicks. We'll continue to take your calls on the Knicks as well. But in a second, I'll get to some calls. I don't want to leave you guys hanging too long. But we got to talk about the worst organization. I mean, right now, the Pittsburgh Pirates are an embarrassment. They're just an embarrassment. As they fired their manager today, Derek Shelton. It's just, I mean, this guy's a billionaire who runs this team. The Milwaukee Brewers, over the last 7 years, have spent $200 million more than the Pittsburgh Pirates. They have nobody. Like, they invest nobody. They have O'Neill Cruz. That is it. Joey Bart's having a decent year. Andrew McCutchen is actually, oddly enough, still having a decent year. But they have nobody. They invest nothing. They attempt nothing to win. That run, you know, 10, 12 years ago where they had a couple of back-to-back 90-win seasons and lost in the wild card game every year, that is, like, the best stretch of Pittsburgh baseball since Bonds left. Like, it's an embarrassment. And we talk so much about the owners and, you know, what the Dodgers are doing bad for baseball is, you know, and the Yankees don't spend enough. And, you know, the owners are scared of Steve Cohen. I know that the market isn't the same, but my God, this, what the Pirates are doing, is bad for baseball. What the Tampa Bay Rays do is bad for baseball. What these markets, these teams that don't give a damn, what the Oakland, I can't even call them Oakland A's anymore, what the A's do is bad for baseball. That's who's bad for baseball, not the Dodgers who want to win. It's the Pittsburgh Pirates whose big offseason acquisition is, you know, Tommy Pham. When they have one of the great pitchers in baseball sitting there in their rotation. As Skeens has taken the league by storm. They have young talent. When you are a team who doesn't spend money, when you have the young talent, you have to surround it. They have O'Neill Cruz, they have Skeens. Go out there and add a couple legitimate bats and try and win something, compete for something. Instead, they do absolutely nothing and then fire the manager in May? I would be embarrassed to fire my manager. I would be embarrassed to let go of the manager and make it seem like it's his fault for the record they have, that it's his fault that they don't win games, that it's his fault they don't score runs. That the gall of this owner, like honestly, even if I was going to spend the money that he spends or not spend the money that he doesn't spend, I would be mortified to fire the manager. Now, I don't know everything that's going on. Maybe he wants out. I don't know. But it makes the organization look so freaking bad. It is so embarrassing to fire fire the manager in May. It is so embarrassing. Like it's his fault. Now, yeah, there's been some guys underachieving. Brian Reynolds, who's been a quality player, is having a miserable season. Brian Hayes, who they hoped would have, you know, a good career and was an up-and-coming big-time prospect, has not had his OPS 600 right now. But I would be embarrassed to fire the manager. Embarrassed. To try and put blame anywhere else but on the owner who doesn't want to spend money. It's embarrassing. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's one of the prettiest in all of baseball. And that is a good sports town, Pittsburgh. They represent. They love their Steelers. They would rally behind a good Pittsburgh Pirates team. And instead, they have this owner who doesn't want to spend money and then fires the manager because they're off to a bad start. Embarrassing. 888-808-1019. But let's get back to things that concern us. Actually, no, Eric just popped up. Let's take one call on that, and then we will get to your Nick calls. Antonio, Mitch, hang in. Eric and Ron Conkham, what's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, Sam, I guess I just popped up there. But I saw that the other day. I was a little surprised this early in the season to see the firing on that. But, you know, it's kind of, I was just, you know, talking to Fleaves about it. You know, it's funny when you think back, it's you know, basically 30 years ago that, I mean, it sounds like a long time, but, I mean, look how great Pittsburgh was in the early 90s when, you know, it was them and Atlanta going head-to-head. You know, for the first handful of years in the 90s to get to the World Series,
yeah.
You know, and you had Bonds and them on there.
Yeah, you had Bonds, you have, Bobby Bonilla. You had a team. They had a team.
Yeah, Triple B, right. I mean, Leland managing that team, you know, and to fall so far from grace, you know, and it's funny because, like, I was just saying, you know, sometimes when, you know, when you're a fan base and you want them to sell the team, right? I mean, because this is a situation where I'm sure the fan base is like so disgusted with the ownership, you know, but sometimes you got to be careful because you never know who's going to come in. I was just saying that, you know, like with Baltimore, I would have expected, you know, them to be all in, and it doesn't appear that way.
I can't even, at the moment, anyway. I mean, there is no doubt. To be a Pittsburgh Pirates fan is just dejecting, and you don't even wake up with any anticipation at any point. So it's a numbing, dismissive feeling. I got to tell you,
especially when you have someone like Skeens on the team.
Yeah, you know, that's it. You're going to turn in every fifth day to watch one of the best pitchers in baseball. Other than that, you're not going to pay attention. But Eric, you mentioned the Orioles. I don't think there'd be another. I can't think of another fan base that is warranted to be more pissed off than the Baltimore Orioles. If I were a Baltimore Oriole fan, they're 10 games under 500 right now. They did nothing in the offseason. New ownership came in, promises of spending money. They have all these young prospects, back-to-back years of making the playoffs. 2 years ago, and thank you for the call, Eric, 2 years ago they went 100 games. and they do absolutely nothing. They let Burns walk. They bring in a 35-year-old star pitcher from Japan, and that's it. They bring in O'Neill from Boston. That's it. Their pitching is atrocious. The Twins just kicked the crap out of them over the last 3 days. Now, I know all the Yankee haters are screaming, but they beat the Yankees. Yes, they won a series against the Yankees. Congratulations. They're 10 games under 500. They are a joke. What a joke. I would be so pissed off if I were an Orioles fan. Oh, my God. All the years of losing. All the years of being the dregs of Major League Baseball, the bottom of the division, just an absolute horrible, horrible team. And Hyde, the manager, had to roll with it. He was there through this whole process watching this team struggle. They're awful. There's nobody, but they're building. They're getting draft picks. They get Rushman. They get Henderson. They get the first pick and get Holiday. They have, you know, they're building with the purpose of getting to this point and then attacking. And they get to this point, they don't even win a freaking playoff game over the last 2 years, and it's already falling apart. What a joke. Like, honestly, what a joke. I would be... If I were an Orioles fan and I went through all this with the promise of the picks that they've had and the young prospects that they have and the youth of this team, and it comes to fruition, they win 100 games, back in the playoffs the next year, battling with the Yankees all the way to the division, they trade for Burns. Here you are, you're on your way to completely underachieving postseason runs, and now the bottom has fallen out already? And they are 10 games under 500 and look like garbage? And their pitching is atrocious? I mean, that's worse than being a Pirates fan. At the moment, at least it is. I mean, at least, I mean, I understand Pittsburgh's indifference, and that's always my least favorite thing, but at least they knew what they were getting into. This would be like the Astros losing 103 games, going through everything they went to tank and be awful, getting Springer, getting Correa, getting Altuve, getting Yordan Alvarez, getting all these players, and then still and having 1 year in the playoffs and then sucking. At least they've got the run. You're supposed to have the run. You're supposed to go through all that crap and then have the run.
Even the Royals, to the dismay of Mets fans, like they were a small market team. When their core got close, 2013, 2014,
they put money into it.
They made a couple of smart deals and gave themselves a 3 year window of being a top half payroll team.
Yep. Absolutely. You understand the markets, you understand the small markets losing, you understand trying to build for something, you understand it, but when you get there, you have to treat it with an urgency and create at least a small window with that group. And what the Orioles have done is just embarrassing. And I think you could throw the Rays in that department too, because we like to praise the Rays. I know we're going around here, going around the off topic of baseball. We'll get back to the Knicks in just a second. But we praise the Rays as being they're the smartest franchise in baseball. They do more with less. Oh, it's a miracle. They're always contending. They give the Yankees fits. Oh, those Tampa Bay Rays, they're as smart as they come. It's amazing they're as good as they are. Great. What does that get you? Great, they're smart. Great, they do it with less. Great. Let me tell you something right now. I know that building sucked, and they don't make a ton of money. They have the people running that show are billionaires. If you're good enough, if you have that year, if you have those couple of years there, and they got to a World Series, but like you have that team in 2020, 2020, 2021, 2019, 20, like that group, they had some real talent, and they had a good team that got to the World Series. And they didn't put a dime into it. They didn't do they didn't make a single trade, a single move. They didn't go for it ever. So great, they're brilliant. Great. They can take crap and make it okay. They can take crap and have one miracle year on the year of the COVID outbreak where they get to the World Series. Great. Why don't you go for it once? I'm sick of praising the Rays.
I love you for saying that, because we always have the Hall of Fame conversation, like, this guy's not a Hall of Famer, but he should be on the ballot for more than 1 year.
Yeah.
The Rays aren't the worst organization in baseball because the Rockies exist, the Pirates exist, but they should be in the conversation more because they're that team that has had, I mean, how many years, if it's a free agent sign, one guy on a $12 million contract for a year or two, one trade at the trade deadline, go for it once, even just a little bit, and they've done literally nothing,
nothing
ever.
Ever. No, I mean, listen, you praise them, oh, the great trades, oh, they got glass now, oh, they did this, oh, you know, yeah, great, true, totally. They're very smart. They're very smart, and they make good trades. And, you know, be leery of making a deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. Got it. Great. But when they're on the precipice of winning, when they're this freaking close, they do nothing. They don't do anything at the deadline. They never attack. They never go out and sign a deal. They gave the one long-term contract they gave to was Juan DeFranco. They're embarrassing, too. And now they're playing in a minor league ballpark, and obviously that's not necessarily their fault, but they don't even know where they're going to play. Like, it's a disaster. They're a disaster of a franchise, and I'm sick of kissing their ass because they make an occasional good trade and because they do more with less. But the Orioles are an embarrassment. I mean, right now you look at the rest of the American League. You want to complain about the Yankees? The Red Sox have Devers refusing to play positions. Marco was just telling me that there's a lot of people saying it's lost in translation that he's not flat out refusing, but he's saying this isn't easy. I'm not someone who can make the transition easily. It's going to take time, so I'm not doing it right away, and that the Red Sox should go find somebody else to do it. But he hasn't flat out refused. He's just said, I don't think I would be successful at it. So I don't know where it goes, but Devers is clearly unhappy. They decide to give him a long-term deal, guarantee him big-time money, make him the franchise. They promise him third base for forever or whatever. You know, they trade away Betts. They don't sign Bogarts. They make him the cornerstone of the team, make him all kinds of promises. He makes that commitment to a team that really didn't sign anybody else when he could have eventually got the free agency. He made a ton of money. He probably took less. He deferred some of it. He did everything he could for them. Now he's a malcontent. It's a disaster over there. They're not nearly as good as everybody thought they were. The Blue Jays are consistent frauds. The Orioles are run just like a bunch of clowns with a bunch of talent and done nothing around it all year. And the Tampa Bay Rays, the same exact thing. Like the rest of the division's a disaster. And not just on the field, being run as disasters. But I know Brian Cashman's the true idiot.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.